Behind Act, if you attend a public high school, your school system is required to turn over your... I can't read this underneath so many screens. And another message. You're welcome. Your message is... Just a moment. Under the No Child Left Behind Act, if you attend a public high school, your school system is required to turn over your private information to the U.S. military unless you opt out. See Section 9528 of the No Child Left Behind Act, which gives you the right to opt out by turning in a form signed by your guardian or parent stating that you do not want the military to have access to your private information. You can opt out at this website. You can also sign a petition demanding these abuses of power and invasion of privacy, inform others. Send a letter to the editor of your local newspaper and contact your congressman, militaryfreezone.org. We'll go back to it in a moment. Chicago Indie Media, you're on the air and being recorded. Go ahead, please.
IP relay operator 6364 with a relay call. Do you know how to use relay?
Yes, I do.
Operator, hear the person disconnected.
Okay.
Thank you, IP relay operator 6364. Goodbye.
Thanks, bye. Man, that is just so annoying. That's like, what, the seventh call someone has tried to make where people just, not even just people, but protest warriors, free Republicans, these guys, would just send in. In fact, well, fortunately, it hasn't been a whole lot of harassment. I'm happy to report that. Anyway, a website of importance for people who are participating in a number of the events today, especially with regards to anti-militarism, anti-draft, and youth support efforts, militaryfreezone.org. Just spell out the words militaryfreezone.org. You can find out more, contact, spread the word to others, sign a petition, formally opt out of... handing over private information to the U.S. military, send a letter to the editor, and contact Congress. Messages just come in. Just a moment. A private message of sorts. I'm just going to respond to it. You'll have to excuse me for a moment while I'm having a conversation via instant message with someone who's asked. That's the thing about not being able to. Pardon me. Anyway, militaryfreezone.org. I'll have to call when I can actually do. You have... Someone's trying to contact us by AOL Instant Messenger with an important message. I'm trying to respond by email. The thing is, my brain can only handle one thing at a time. Email. Okay, what I'm gonna do actually, I'm gonna see if I can make a what I'll do is, okay, I think I can make a phone call. If I can actually remember the number. Bear with me for a moment while I go fetch a number. No dice with the number finding. I'm angry. Okay, this is annoying. Aha, here we go. I'm going to make a phone call to a friend. Actually, it's John. We'll mark that lower.
Hello?
John, it's Mitchell. Hello, John? Shoot. Oh, John. Sorry, John, it's Mitchell. John? John? Well, that didn't work. There we go. Resonance now. Actually. Trying to make a phone call.
Should work now. Hello?
I failed. Yeah. Okay.
Hello? Yeah.
Hello?
John, it's Mitchell. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm on the other line with GN. What's up?
I'll just to let you know, we've got an email from someone who has footage.
Oh, good.
I asked them to send you an email, and I gave them your email address.
Excellent.
So yeah, just so you know, you expect an email from him. I'll send them your way.
All right.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Personal conversations. Okay. I alerted our video contact. I have, all right. I have to go. Bye. well, let's see. How do I save this? This is an interesting question. Someone who's listening on AOL Instant Messenger, is there some way to save emails, incoming emails, from people who just respond? Okay. Well, that's the thing. I'm like still working on AOL Instant Messenger, as far as the technology goes. That's interesting. It's got a WGN on the line, so that's nice. We can get some footage. Oh, hark, hark. Yes. File. I'm at file. Save as. Person from Kentucky. Go to the file, then click save. Aha. And we'll do that. Okay. Thank you. Just to let people who aren't in front of a computer know what's going on, I just had a conversation with a gentleman from AOL Instant Messenger, presumably from Kentucky, because that's his AOL Instant Messenger name. It's on the window right above the text. Oh, this thing. Okay, very nice. Add buddy. Can I add a buddy list? I should be able to add people. Services. I can add people. Well, I'm not going to bore my audience with the excitement of clicking computer buttons, so I'll worry about this later. A drop-down menu. I'll have to tackle it later, but thanks. Very nice. Okay. So that's the developments there. Well, we're coming to you from the trenches. This is Chicago Indie Media's coverage of protests and events in Chicago and worldwide today, on March 19th, 2005, commemorating the second anniversary of the escalation of the war in Iraq. This radio broadcast is a special extended edition of From the Trenches, the radio project of the Chicago Independent Media Center, part of the growing network of independent media centers that span the globe. This broadcast is being listened on the Internet as well as on radio stations across the United States. as far as I know, including here in Chicago, particularly WNUR, which has been giving, hopefully been giving coverage of details that I've been providing to them, as well as WZRD, 88.3 FM radio out of Loyola University. So thanks to both of them for helping out and rebroadcasting, and to everyone for listening, no matter where you are and what we've been doing. As far as the fate of this particular broadcast, people have been arrested, but I haven't really found word details regarding what may happen next. So unless, like, some extraordinary developments may happen in the next hour or so, I might just wrap it up. I had anticipated a wrap-up 8 until 6, which I actually talked to people who actually work for radio, do radio for a living. Me, I'm just a rank amateur. But nonetheless, I talk to people and I tell them when I've done a radio show for about 10 and a half hours, they just like are blown away, utterly blown away by this. But no, I have been on the air now, today, for 9 hours and 10 minutes, according to the chronometer on the computer that I'm using to broadcast this, both by a web stream, and that web stream, an audio feed via computer, basically what it amounts to. And being rebroadcast by radio stations and other streams around the world, actually. As far as breaking other continuing developments, and I may actually just put an additional post. Oh, actually, there was a very interesting development that actually got posted to the Chicago Indie Media. An audio file with a scene report from Milwaukee. Counter-protester assaults a police officer. Let's listen in. Actually, we'll hold off on that for a moment. Chicago Indie Media, you're on the air and being recorded. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mitchell, it's Jolene. How are you?
Jolene, hi. I'm exhausted, but I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, I was hoping that you could do a shout-out about Cynthia McKinney's talk tonight.
Yeah, totally. Go ahead.
She's speaking at 6:30 at the University Church in Hyde Park. The address is 5644 South University Avenue.
Okay.
She did a great job at the rally this afternoon, and for people who feel like they need a little bit more, we'd really be happy to fill the church up.
We were very lucky that one of Chicago Indie Media's radio collective people brought a cell phone to the rally, and we got to hear Cynthia McKinney's speech in its entirety on the webcast.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, and we also know that there are probably going to be at least one, maybe more, videographers that will be recording her speech at the University Church this evening.
Excellent. So yeah, I've been talking with some of those folks, so I'm really happy that it's all turned out.
I'm exhausted,
but I'll get that another little shot of adrenaline like we always do. You must be getting exhausted yourself.
I've been on adrenaline for the last 11 hours. It's just like, oh, man, I just want to go to bed. But have you heard anything? I don't know if you can share this on the air. Have you heard anything with regards to arrests?
The only one that I've heard about is Andy.
Right. I've heard reports of as many as 8 other people who have been arrested, but Andy was the most prominent one. He actually also called us from the paddy wagon where he was being detained, it turns out.
I was just reading your little notes that you kept on the web today.
Yeah, on chicago.indymedia.org, indeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he still had a cell, but that's good that he called.
Yeah, no, he had a cell and he had time, and we chatted for about 10 minutes. And we'll be all archived and probably posted on the Chicago Indie Media website or some other radio website, because I'm having difficulty as far as loading radio files. A problem, actually, with the software that can't be readily fixed, I'm afraid.
Ooh.
So we may actually have to do some indirect efforts. But I've directed people to... the media gallery to post information on the Indie Media Radio Network, radio.indiemedia.org. They can actually post files there and spread the word that way. We can also link it from Chicago Indie Media as well.
I just got to say, Chicago Indie Media is just the best thing since sliced bread.
It really is.
I don't know what I did before I knew about it.
Mm.
Okay, well, I got to run because I got to write up a little speech that I'm giving tonight.
And, oh, nice.
Thanks for everything you do.
Yeah, thank you for all your work. If there's anything else, we'll be on the air until at least 6, maybe a little longer, but we might be wrapping up soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, send your friends to Hyde Park tonight.
Thanks.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye. That was Jolene, a friend of mine, an organizer who's lives in the Southside neighborhood of Hyde Park. And indeed, Cynthia McKinney, just to reiterate the announcement, which is posted on Chicago Indie Media, Loading. Struggle against war and racism. An evening with U.S. Representative Cynthia McKinney, 6:30 p.m. And people from the north side, you can actually go leave now. Avoid the police that are still converged in downtown. May actually want to take the train. Go to Cynthia McKinney at the University Church, 5644 South University, 6:30 p.m. Tonight, Saturday, March 19th. The host of the event is Cliff Kelly, a Chicago area radio show host on an all-black owned radio station, WVON, which you can visit online at WVON.com. And I've actually had the good fortune to be on Cliff's show. In fact, I've been a host of I've been on Cliff's show twice in the past couple of years. And he's very cool, very smart guy. He used to actually be a practicing an attorney and a member of the Chicago City Council. Very smart guy. Let's see who's calling now. Chicago Indie Media, you're on the air and being recorded. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mitchell. This is Rita.
Hi, Rita. How are things?
Hi. I just wanted to report that I've been looking at the corporate press now, and Channel 5 has said that five people were arrested.
They count five. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to want to believe the corporate media because they've been getting numbers either wrong or grossly underestimated all day long.
But just letting you know.
I understand.
What they said, and they had pictures of the people being carried off, and there's some prominent peace activists there.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from the pacifist organization looked like he was carried off. And it looked like there were arrests down at Federal Plaza, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I counted about eight protests at least throughout the day.
Okay.
So, but yeah, thank you for the update. Just to let you know, we'll be more people are bringing in footage. We'll probably be posting it throughout the evening and going from there.
Cool.
Yeah, so... thanks for all your help with everything on this. And,
sure.
And thanks, and especially the Cynthia McKinney thing. That was really awesome to hear. So we've got that archived, and we'll be posting it. Well, I got to figure out how. I might not do it tonight, although I think I might like to.
Well, I can post it because I've got it on tape.
That interview.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, totally.
Okay.
And I've got now 190 megabytes worth of audio from 9 hours of footage.
Wow.
Yeah. That happens. But no, it's all nicely stored, and I'll probably be chopping it up and posting it up in the next couple of days.
Okay.
All right.
Good work, Mitchell.
Yes, and good work with you as well, Rita.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
So it seems like people's broadcasting day might be ending, at least for the time being, although there is, as I was mentioning. Cynthia McKinney, 6:30 p.m., which is about an hour and 15 minutes as 5:15 is approaching, and she gave an outstanding speech. Which I may bring up again, and which would be worth listening to, and I hope you do. What I'd like to listen to now is a post of an audio file about 6 minutes in length that was posted or reposted on the Milwaukee Indie Media website, milwaukee.indiemedia.org. As an official report, Milwaukee did not stop the war today. On a call into Portland Indie Media. The headline of this announcement, of this report, is "Scene Report from Milwaukee: Counter-Protester Assaults a Cop." Let's listen in. It doesn't look like that audio is actually getting into. I can actually hear it on my earphones, but it doesn't look like the audio for that is getting at least very well onto. So how do we do this? We may hold off until such time as I can figure out a way to get the audio files and poo. I don't think I can get, at least not without having to stop the broadcast and restarting it, and that would put a lot of things in disarray. I don't want to have to do that. In any event, if you want to listen to an audio file with an internet connection, unless I can figure out some other way to bring in the audio, perhaps. CD, standing mic. I don't think I can, unless I figure out some brilliant brainstorm. Or if people actually have suggestions, they can call in 773-384-8544. I'm broadcasting and, well, maybe just as well. Chicago Indie Media, you're on the air and being recorded. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thanks for being on the air.
No problem. What can I do for you?
I appreciate the coverage of the events, and it's a shame and stuff like that. I didn't particularly. Who was that last guy? seemed a little nihilistic on a level, the guy that was speaking in the last segment that you had on.
I'm not quite sure. You're not referring to John? The guy was talking about video?
No, the guy who was talking about larger geopolitical issues. It was like a recording of a guy. It seemed nihilistic. The thing I'm... I'm going to just cut to the chase.
Sure.
I'm an artist in Chicago. And basically, I do art on hemp content paper.
Okay.
I know hemp and all the connotations and the people that look down their nose at people who smoke pot and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole puritanical garbage that along with it.
Yeah.
But really, I print on hemp because of a real regional problem. And like... This really goes to the heart of like a lot of this, where it's like the hemp I have to print on has to be imported from Romania because it's illegal to grow it in the United States.
Right.
The only reason it's illegal to grow it in the United States is because it looks or acts too much like marijuana, even though it really has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what I've just said is like if downstate Illinois was able to farm hemp, I, as an artist printing on hemp paper, would be able to put my money to downstate Illinois. There would be, in between downstate Illinois and Chicago, some type of paper mill facility also that would be created that's also sustainable. I'm just not clear as to why, like, people haven't taken this cause up on either side, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's really pathetic because, really, it goes to the heart of where Karl Rove does so well, which is in the agricultural areas. If you were to, like, put this money in front of them, you have to remember, too, that, like, soybeans didn't even exist in the United States until the 1970s, and that's, like, the largest cash crop right now.
Mm-hmm.
This will dwarf soybeans when it is legal. And right now, it's only a matter of time. Sooner than later, hopefully. That's all.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to share?
I suppose not.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling. If you'd like to call in, you can do so. The line is free, 773-384-8544. We're coming to you from the trenches. This is Chicago Indie Media's coverage of protests and events in Chicago and worldwide. Today, March 19th, 2005, commemorating the second anniversary of the escalation of the war in Iraq and elsewhere. This radio broadcast is a special extended edition of From the Trenches, the radio project of the Chicago Independent Media Center, part of the growing network of independent media centers that span the globe. If you'd like to call in, again, the phone number, 773-384-8544, 384-8544. So attempts to try to get that audio from that was posted to Chicago Indie Media have proven unsuccessful if I want to maintain the broadcast in the continuous stream, and I certainly want to do so, because if I were to do so, that would force everyone who's current force everyone who is currently on listening off, and I don't want to do that if I don't have to. In any event, let's take a look now globally in the media. Actually, what I may do is take a moment now to... I wish I had a screwdriver. More CAFTA. Actually, I may listen to indiemedia.us. Indiemedia.us is the website of basically efforts that are going on in the United States. Update on counter-recruitment arrests in New York City. Update from Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got updates across the United States. 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. Update on counter-recruitment efforts in New York City. Let's take a look at that. And an effort from Fayetteville, North Carolina, Fort Bragg, which we had discussed earlier. We'll get to that in a moment. Police stop military recruiting as anti-war demonstrators protest on second anniversary of Iraq War. 30 arrested. Armed Forces recruiting centers in Brooklyn, Manhattan, and the Bronx were transformed into centers of protest today as scores of anti-war protesters set life-size coffins at their entrances or blocked their doors. This is a press release from the War Resisters League online at War Resisters, spell out those words, warresisters.org. Continuing with the press release. At about 11 a.m. this morning, March 19, 2005, when the Bronx Army Navy Air Force Marine Corps Center would have been conducting business at Fordham Road in the Grand Concourse, six life-sized coffins representing U.S. and Iraqi casualties of the Iraq War were lined up next to the entrance to the center. About 60 demonstrators held a vigil in front of the building, handing out anti-war leaflets to passersby in the busy Bronx shopping area. A little later, in Brooklyn and Manhattan, some 300 protesters converged on each of the recruiting centers on Flatbush Avenue and at Times Square. Some two dozen conducted a symbolic die-in in the street in front of the Times Square station, where 24 were arrested. Another 8 people were arrested in Brooklyn for blocking the doors of the Flatbush Avenue Recruiting Center. No one was arrested in the Bronx because, with the center closed for business, there was no one to ask the protesters to leave. They stood peacefully in front of the building, handing out leaflets and reading out the names of U.S. Armed Forces members from the Bronx who have died in Iraq. The demonstrations in New York City were three of hundreds of protests at recruiting centers across the nation called by peace and justice groups, including, I'm happy to report, protests at no fewer than 2 recruiting centers here in Chicago. Each demonstration was preceded by a solemn procession carrying the coffins to the recruiting site. An organizer with the War Resisters League named Frida Berrigan, well, there's a name that protesters don't know, Berrigan, later arrested in Times Square, explained the significance of the coffins. "We carry coffins representing more than 1,500 American soldiers who have died. Some coffins are draped in black fabric to represent the more than 100,000 Iraqis who have been killed, and others are draped with American flags to represent the 1,512 American soldiers killed so far. The White House has tried to hide these deaths from the American people, but the sorrow will not be silent." They continue about this. You can read more about the event with their press release either at the New York City Indie Media office website, nyc.indiemedia.org. You can also go to the War Resisters League website at warresisters.org. That's one breaking development from New York City. There is another with regards to Fayetteville, North Carolina, Fort Bragg, where there was a protest. Huge numbers. History-making demonstration with early estimates of 4,000-plus people, easily toppling the last largest demonstration there during the Vietnam War at Fort Bragg, military base being a huge success. The rally was largely organized by and around the anti-war viewpoints of military families and veterans. There's a very active chapter here as well of Iraqi veterans against the war. Efforts which are no doubt springing up and emerging, happy to report, nationally as well. We invite you to call in for a broadcast which, well, I'm not quite sure anymore. I thought I might just, at time of 5:25 p.m., we may be going on until then. I had basically made the promise, which I intend to keep, of being on the air until about 6 p.m., Whether or not it extends beyond that, I don't know. It may just depend on whether or not the phone well has gone dry or if people can't call in or if, I don't know what. Or unless, like, circumstances may dictate. I'm not quite sure exactly what I can do with regards to the phone solidarity efforts and jail solidarity efforts with Andy Thayer, assuming that he may still be in jail, as might be a safe assumption. There were reports of 5 arrests. We may actually get the final number later. I've heard reports of 8. So, at most 8. Fewer than 2, but we certainly know it's not that one. And we certainly know it is 1, because, as was heard on this very webcast, we had received a phone call from an organizer under police detainment shortly after having been arrested. If there's any new dispatches to share, just scanning the web to see if I can find other information to share. The breaking news and developments from Fayetteville, nothing else there. Dispatches from Michigan, Fort Bragg, Baltimore, New York City, at least a dozen California actions up and down the state, Philadelphia, Houston, and United for Peace and Justice, a noted police group, have organized no fewer than maybe they did were involved in a hand in organizing, but they count no fewer than 728 protest actions across the United States, and that's just the United States. We have also heard reports of protests has been reported in Australia, Ireland, across Europe, Asia. I wish, and I hope maybe someone can call in with information about this. And even if you go to the corporate media, the New York Times, protests in Europe, probably continued protests. The same article that they have in the New York Times is still there, the same rip and read stuff rather than, you know, original substantive comment. In any event, so well to be there. kind of falling sleepy here. And also hungry. What I'm going to do probably with the website is like breaking developments. If there's anything new posted to the Chicago Indie Media Newswire, I haven't heard. But if people have footage to share, audio, video, you name it, reporting, photography, eyewitness accounts, I mean, even to just call in just to talk. You can even talk anonymously. Or if you actually want to be offline, we can actually take phone calls, which we've done, which haven't gone out on the air. You can certainly do that. Phone number, 773-384-8544. And right now I'm wishing I had a screwdriver, and I'm not talking about the drink, an honest-to-goodness screwdriver, because it turns out that part of the equipment here that's used to broadcast the relay phones is running low on a battery and is behind a battery seal, which is tied in with a Phillips head screw. And I seem to be want of a screwdriver for the moment. As I survey the room to try to find something that might resemble or could be reasonably drafted, as a screwdriver. Nothing for the moment. Excuse me a moment while I get a... Hello? Somebody had left on the radio. There, to explain briefly regarding some of the details here regarding the offices where we're broadcasting from, I'm in a room filled with computers. There are probably at least a dozen computers, a television set, assorted electronic equipment here. One of the computers was left on with a web stream to Portland Indie Media. By the way, this radio broadcast is part of about maybe at least four, perhaps more, live radio web broadcasts that are occurring across the United States. Portland, San Diego, Portland, Oregon, San Diego, the San Francisco Bay Area, and right here in good old Chicago, sweet home Chicago, all giving coverage. Last year there had also been coverage from Washington, D.C. I haven't seen any details about whether or not that was happening. Philadelphia also has a very active web presence on the web, particularly with their project Radio Volta, which may or may not also be re-airing this. Although you will also have live coverage of various other, mostly Pacifica-affiliated radio stations across the United States. WBAI was giving generous helpings of coverage. KPFK, whatever the Pacifica affiliate in Los Angeles is, blanking on the name of that, they have been broadcasting as well. So... there have been lots of coverage has been taking place across the United States, and lots of protests have been taking place across the United States as well. Efforts to try to find more have been bearing some fruit. Actually, I may go now and typing in front of a computer to the United for Peace and Justice website, unitedforpeace.org, FORPEACE. And no updates. Well, actually, they do have some updates. The standard press release about some 725-plus communities who are organizing various small-scale and not-so-small-scale events across the United States. Trying to find other dispatches. Anything on global? No. There had been events in Miami, some protests that were taking place. Miami holding an infamy as being the home of the protests in November 2003 against the Free Trade Area of the Americas, which saw incredibly massive repression against dissent. And there you had actually broadcasters on the radio who were on an internet radio station, which were broadcasting from for 5 days straight at minimum 16 hours per day, basically providing coverage of events on the street. And extraordinary. That was actually the inspiration for me to establish this radio broadcast of events in Chicago and nationwide, especially on days of big protests, much like today, March 19th, 2005, held. We're coming to you from the trenches. This is Chicago Indie Media's coverage of protests and events in Chicago and worldwide today, March 19th, 2005. This radio broadcast is part of a special extended edition of From the Trenches, the radio project of the Chicago Independent Media Center, part of the growing network of independent media centers that span the globe. Find out more online at chicago.indymedia.org. Indymedia is spelled I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A. You'll have to forgive me. I'm just running on vapors here. There are new developments, calls, emails. You can call us, 773-384-8544. You can also... just got an email. Okay. I just got an email from... I got an email with regards to possible plans for tonight, so I have to respond back shortly. Anyway, if you'd like to call in, this phone number for the radio broadcast, which will be going on at least for another half hour. Whether or not it extends beyond that may depend on whether or not there are enough phone calls and whether or not I have the my adrenal glands actually have enough adrenaline to keep pumping adrenaline to replace all the blood that I've lost. You can call in 773-384-8544, or you can email imc-chicago@indymedia.org, or you can also contact us by AOL Instant Messenger. And we've been getting, and thanks to everyone who has been contacting us by AOL IM, we've been getting some very helpful IM developments from that. You can actually also email, send an IM to Chicago IMC if you're on AOL Instant Messenger, a live real-time chatting service that's provided by America Online, and which has gained incredibly increasing amounts of attention and popularity, which is why we've signed up an account. Hello? Hey! So, what's new?
Well, it was a big success when all was said and done.
Okay. Tell me more. Hey.
We were just saying how what a nice combination of people turned out.
What was nice about the combination?
Well, there was parents, there were their children, there were anarchists, there were grandparents, and everyone in between.
Very nice.
So it was a really, college kids, high school kids.
Very cool.
Old fogies like me.
Old fogies, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we're still broadcasting. I might, we've got reports of probably about 8 arrests at most.
I only heard 2.
I've heard, the corporate media was reporting 2. I've heard it could be as many as 8.
We knew it to a press conference. Now the others might have taken place somewhere else.
Yeah, that may well have taken place as well. But it may very well probably wait for final confirming numbers.
What number are they using? I was using 5,000.
As far as the number of rally there?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I saw a post on the CBS Chicago 2 website. They were mentioning as little as 1,000. But you're right, it's probably far smaller. What would you say as far as the numbers of people at the rally? 5,000?
Well, it wasn't completely full. Mm-hmm. But I would say, 5,000.
Okay.
The outside. Mm-hmm. Or 5,000. That would be my guess.
Okay. So 5,000 people. And people, we're already getting feedback, lots of phone calls now from people who are getting back home from protest events.
Right.
And delivering content and posting files and information.
The Palestine Peter March was huge.
How many people?
I don't know. There maybe at least 500.
Okay.
But the others were mixed. Some people said they went even after many months. And now from the North, San High School was not that old, actually.
Yeah. There were, but you also saw, I counted 10 feeder marches that were listed across the city. And we've gotten the dispatches throughout the morning from the feeder marches, which was very cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, positive development.
Right, very good.
And also a positive response from passersby.
Right.
People who happened to be by were just giving thumbs up saying, this war is stupid and needs to end, and we rethink our priorities.
Right.
Well, thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Thank you. Take care. See you in a bit. So that's the dispatch. I don't know if that got on the air, so let me just briefly recapitulate what was said. Estimates of something on the order of maybe 5,000 people at the rally in Federal Plaza. Mightily impressive, and certainly much larger. In fact, I will give that as the last update to the center panel that I've basically been updating throughout the day. I'll do that right now. Edit. Just to explain what's happening, I'm basically narrating what I'm doing on the webpage. At 5:37 p.m., estimates of upwards of some 5,000 people in Federal Plaza for the rally, which has since ended. Very diverse group of people participating. As I'm typing this in, and I will be posting it in a moment on the website, chicago.indiemedia.org, to pass along to everyone who can't be listening as well. And you'll find people, actually, who couldn't listen in, but who nonetheless were checking the website. So I've been posting up, and that didn't work. So let's try something else. Okay, that should work. A small technical snafu here. It turns out that the post I made did not get caught posted on the main global website, or Chicago Indie Media website. It should be now, and it is. Very nice. So that might be the last of the dispatches. Again, if people have footage to share, by all means, please share. So that's the development there. It's been lots of coverage of events. People were waiting on jail solidarity efforts. I don't know if I can actually participate in jail solidarity efforts, especially since I'm kind of running out of adrenaline here over the last... how long have I been broadcasting? 9 hours and 40 minutes on the air. Not a record. I actually did about 10 and a half hours last year. So this broadcast will actually be slightly smaller than last year's. They didn't do any arrests. As I had suspected, it didn't seem like there were massive amounts of arrests because the police were not in a position to do that. Or at least the speculation is that they didn't want to arrest a huge number of people because when they did so 2 years ago, that gave a serious blow to the reputation of the city of Chicago. In fact, there's serious speculation, an increased likelihood, that that march on Lakeshore Drive may have actually cost the city of Chicago hosting the G8 group of eight major governments that were having... Well, 2004, it turns out that the United States was going to be the planned host for... Because they rotate among the eight countries that basically comprise this G8 group. And there was serious speculation being voiced for months before June 2004... that Chicago was going to be tapped as the locale of the 2004 G8. We'll talk about that in a moment. Here's a phone call.
Chicago Indie Media, you're on the air and being recorded. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I just kind of figured that since everything seemed to be ending off when I left, that you might have a little bit of dead time or something like that. So I just want to kind of call and just kind of state some general opinions on what happened and what I think we need to do for other major protests.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Basically, I mean, when I look at the type of turnout that we had, I don't know what the numbers were, but, you know, even my was talking to people and they were not informed of this and you know, wanted to go down and might have gone down for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that we need to acknowledge, you know, we had maybe a few thousand people. I don't know how to estimate that. I think we really need to look in the mirror and kind of ask ourselves why we're not getting 100,000 people showing up at these. And I think we've probably really failed at promoting this and getting the word out. So I kind of wanted to share that with your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way,
this is being relayed on radio stations.
Okay, fantastic.
So you're getting a very wide reach. But anyway, if you could continue, please.
Okay, good. I'm glad that I'm getting a wide reach.
Hmm.
You know, I think that the progressive movement at this point needs to really think about how we can get the information out there more. And I think that to do it would be relatively simple. I think that we need to really look at going out and having promotion just in our neighborhoods. And I look at a lot of other cities with similar progressive populations, and a lot of them have been able to get in many multiples of what we've gotten in. So I would definitely say that people who are supporters of us need to think in terms of the next time we have one of these, going out, putting out a lot of flyers in places and things like that. So that's really my main feedback on that, and I think that we need to look at how to make sure that there's 50 or 100,000 people at the next protest and take responsibility for doing that.
Mm-hmm. As far as the numbers go of the number of people who've been involved in protests, I just spoke with a gentleman who just came from the rally at Federal Plaza, and he has been to a number of these rallies, and he gives an estimate of the ballpark of something along the lines of 5,000. and even though it was not a packed rally there, which is still nothing to shake a stick at, but you're quite right. It needs to grow much more in order to have a serious impact. I mean, if you had 5,000 people at Michigan and Oak, I don't think there'd be any question they probably would be able to march down Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, and I don't know what the numbers were. I mean, I've been to similar ones. I think it was a little bit smaller than some that I've been to that were estimated about 5,000. I don't know how to come up with that sort of estimate.
Mm-hmm.
I just really think that we need to understand that in a metropolitan area of 7 million people with a significant anti-war population, that we could be reaching out to many people. I think that it's nothing to shake a stick at if you look at what's happened in the past in many cases. And I won't really, but it's like, I feel like we're losing, obviously, at this point. We've been losing, and we need to have something that's really overwhelming and that the mainstream media can't ignore.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like it was a failure. It was pretty comparable or fairly comparable to stuff I've been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, when you don't have any knowledge of it, you're going to get the same several thousand people showing who are perhaps tied into the alternative press and things like that.
Right.
And I think that we need to change our standards of how many people need to come in and that sort of thing.
Okay. Let me ask a follow-up question. You're talking about, I think I quite agree that you need to reach out to more people. Are there any particular tactics you might have in mind as what might, what to do specifically in terms of outreach campaigns?
Well, I think that the most effective outreach campaign is a very simple one, which is simply getting flyers out to the neighborhoods. I think that that's something that, a group of 15 or 20 people need to do. I certainly intend to do it for my own neighborhood, but I think just getting the flyers out is going to get the word out enough. I mean, there are certainly, other tactics that we can use. As you, of course, know, and as the listeners don't, I'm the editor of Third Coast Press, and we work in various ways to create an alternative media. In addition, I think even look at techniques such as perhaps going around and passing things out a couple days before on business days, or going while there is a protest going on, going into the neighborhood of the Loop for something like this and passing it out to people within a four-block radius and really doing that very aggressively so that everybody knows what's going on and why we have thousands of police scattered around the streets, and just get attention in that way. But I think we can do it in very simple ways. I think that we need to look at ways of reaching out to people in the general public who may not necessarily be highly activated, but who agree with us. And I don't think that it's going to require a huge amount of people or huge resources. It's going to require a relatively small group who are dedicated to spending some hours and making that happen, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
And actually, other techniques that actually we use to supplement that, everyone likes to laugh. The flyers that I've seen, and that meant as a criticism, and especially since you're dealing with serious issues, both being raised by a protest movement, but also some of the great strengths of a lot of the major media personalities, liberal or left, a lot of their where they tend to succeed as far as reaching a wide audience, including appearing in the corporate media, is times when they're funny. Michael Moore, John Stewart. Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, plenty of people, Al Franken, people like these who do outreach and pretty successful outreach. And the secret to their success is that they're funny. So I don't see any reason why we can't also bring in a little sense of humor onto what would otherwise be serious issues. Even though they are serious issues and should be understood as such, we can also bring in a little bit of more lightheartedness about it as well.
I think that's very good. The most effective thing that I saw today was actually some people that had a sign up that claimed that they were from Clear Channel. I don't know if any callers mentioned anything about this, but they were at Federal Plaza, and they were saying that they were from Clear Channel and that they were, spoke in a very monotone, morose voice talking about how they were selling the rights to protest, basically, by the minute, and it was like $5 a minute to protest. And even making the police, you know, the police loved it, the protesters loved it, and they're sitting there talking, well, you're supposed to have a permit to do this, so, you know, it's not really free speech, so we figured we might get into the market. I thought that was extremely effective. I think that unfortunately there's a stereotype that there's a lot of humorlessness mm-hmm. out in the left, and, you know, maybe we saw some of that today, so I think get people to laugh, and, you know, also there's so much sort of bad propaganda that comes out about us, basically, based on generally the actions of a handful of people who don't act much worse than people tend to act at a Cubs Sox Crosstown Classic. Right. But to see, you know, we're just normal people and allow people to kind of, you know, have a sense of humor and be human and make sure that we can connect and that people know that it'll be a good experience to join this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I think that I really feel that to get many multiples of the number of people, I don't necessarily feel that it's going to require, I might be repeating myself, but a huge, you know, a huge amount of work, but it does require people going out, passing out flyers, getting the word out. We're not going to get any type of significant or fair coverage in the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if there's a general knowledge, we will mm-hmm. get people to show up. We have huge support mm-hmm. throughout Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I speak to people all the time who are against the war and who do not feel that they have any opportunity to change things. And, you know, it's like if these people see that, if you get together and you have, you know, that thousands of people changing things can bring attention to these issues and that this sort of thing has worked in the past, but we need the numbers.
Right.
I think that could be fantastic for us.
Yeah. Actually, what you inspired as far as creating a kind of, I guess you might call it a flyer team, a team that basically works on making thought-provoking, informative, and maybe, you know, funny flyers And distributing them out, and again, this is like wouldn't have to like all the costs of maybe whatever the software to make cool flyers, a little bit of creativity and mm-hmm. the spirit of fun, and then just like making, I don't know, going to local copiers and just making tons of flyers, which are eminently doable. Would you want to create? And actually, I'll make since we're on the air, maybe we'll make the call out to all our listeners. Start a small group, I don't know, say Chicagoans Flyering for Peace or something like that.
Uh-huh.
That would work for this.
Yes, I would definitely be willing to help and create something like that. And Lord knows, of course, that both you and I have so few things to do with our time
yeah.
that this will be very easy for both of us. But,
oh, yeah,
but still.
Like cleaning my plate, yeah.
I'm sorry?
No, I was just, like, cleaning my plate. Yeah, that's definitely doable. Yeah, in addition to, you know, running an organization and writing a column for Third Coast Press and indie media radio and TV work. And, oh, yeah, I've been on the air for the last 10 hours. Oh, and a weekly radio show on a radio station on the South Side.
Yes,
I'd be interested in getting the ball rolling at the very least. And perhaps like encouraging people to get in from people who would have the time and who would want to do something productive and fun with their time that can also make a serious difference.
Yeah,
I'd be interested in getting at least planting the seed for that. And this is eminently doable and can definitely make a big difference. So
yes.
Okay. So I guess where do we go from here? Tell you what. Let me make this there. I monitor the IMC-Chicago at indiemedia.org mailing list. People want to join in on that if they have email. Send an email saying you want to join Chicagoans Flyering for Peace. We'll just give it this blanket name for the time being. Send an mm-hmm. email to IMC-Chicago at indiemedia.org. I'll monitor that email list and collect any names that come to it. And people also want, they can leave a message in the Chicago Indie Media voicemail box that we have set up. Asking for the same thing. Call this number, 773-384-8544. And we'll see if we can. And I'll also make a post on Chicago Indie Media as well. I'll do that maybe in the next couple of days.
I think that's fantastic. And to give your any listeners who may be tempted by this sort of thing some perspective, you know, I think that may be the fact that nobody's doing that, and that you don't have that small group, may be the entire reason why Chicago is not the center of such activity as it should be. So I think if you join this little group without necessarily a massive commitment of time, you know, you could be part of making the difference between whether Chicago is a major center of protest or not. So that's what you can help to do as one individual, and you may feel powerless, but that's not necessarily so.
It was with regards to the Chicago protest movement, with regards to media activism. This is something I know a little something about since I spend amount of time on this. It took just 2 years ago. It was five people in an apartment on Lakeview that basically started what I would consider the modern, in quotes, modern incarnation of the Chicago media activist movement. And we, at the time and now, it's gone far beyond that. We've got now hundreds of people involved and active on these issues and supporters that number far more than those that we know or might even have immediate contact with. It quite literally can start with one person, a single conversation, and the willing to want to do something a little bit. And that's how anything that positive that has ever happened before began with that. And it can happen again. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'll kind of give you one other thought. I haven't verified this, but I have heard and find this believable that the number of really dedicated hardcore activists who are consistently working in the anti-Vietnam movement may have numbered in the order of about 500.
Yeah.
I find that believable. I've also heard that the number of people in the civil rights movement in the 1960s may have numbered about 1,000. And when you think about it and think about who is really activating them, certainly I think that civil rights would have progressed anyway, but perhaps one or two people, not necessarily with the gifts of a Martin Luther King, but who were simply dedicated, might have made the difference between the tone of the civil rights movement being nonviolent disobedience or civil war. Mm-hmm. One or two people who decided to take the initiative, who might have been ordinary people, just like, you know, anybody else, might have made the difference between the war stopping when it did or not. I really, really want everybody to understand, I guess, that you're not powerless, and that even in these frustrating times, that the work that you do, if it's done the right way and it's done intelligently, can be, you know, this almost sounds amazing to say, but it's true. You might make the difference between when this war stops or not, depending on what you choose to do.
Absolutely.
And that's a really an amazing and inspiring thing, I think. But I think history proves it to be true.
Time and time again. Okay, so we're approaching 6 o'clock. I might just stay on a little longer simply because I think I feel a little more motivated. I think I've got some blood sugar flowing in my veins again.
Good.
Okay, so thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later then.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. So that was inspiring. So that's the call out for people who are interested. Chicagoans Flyering for Peace, I guess, is this ad hoc name of this ad hoc group that has just been founded right on your very ears at this very moment on this radio webcast, coming to you from the trenches. Chicago Indie Media's coverage, wrapping up coverage, it would seem, of protests and events, lots of which have been wrapping up throughout the day in Chicago and worldwide today, March 13th, 2005. This radio broadcast is a special extended edition of From the Trenches, the radio project of the Chicago Independent Media Center, part of the growing network of independent media centers that span the globe. The phone number is free. Phone line is free. Call in if you like, 773-384-8544, if you've got reminiscences or stories to post. One new post that was actually posted, although I fear it might be another audio post. Brittany witnessed right-winger... Another Milwaukee Indy Media post. Brittany witnessed right-winger assaulting a police officer. So two posts on the Chicago Indy Media office, Chicago Indy Media Newswire at chicago.indymedia.org. And we had received a dispatch of this from Marco, an organizer with Chicago, with Milwaukee Indy Media, who called in, even though we had given lots of calls last year with giving regular dispatches of the rally that were that was happening in Milwaukee, a fairly sizable rally and a protest that was happening there. He gave just a single call today, and that call was a doozy. Actually reported a report of a right-wing protester from one of these right-wing counter-protest groups, like Protest Warrior or Free Republic, which were... one of these counter-protesters had assaulted a police officer and essentially got away with it. I mean, if anyone, like maybe to the left of, say, Bob Dole, had assaulted a police officer, and certainly under circumstances like this, you would have seen, like, immediate arrest, lockdown, bringing, like, serious clamping charges and subsequent trial and post-event proceedings. Certainly would not have been tolerated in the least. And yet here, if one of the protest warriors had, like, slugged a Chicago police officer today, I mean, would the Chicago police have reacted in as serious a fashion? And certainly I would hope so, because they certainly would not have given that kind of toleration to people on the left or liberals who would react in such a open and violent fashion. So why should a double standard be played there? A number of other press posts have been posted to Chicago Indy Media. Tens of thousands of protests in Europe after 2 years in the invasion. Worldwide protests mark the war. Let's take a look at this. Loading a webpage. Just a moment. Article from the BBC. Public broadcaster going back to 1922. Worldwide protests mark Iraq war. Protests have been taking place around the world, marking 2 years since the start of the Iraq war. Thousands turned out in Japan and Australia to complain about their country's involvement in Iraq. Protest marches took place around Europe and similar events planned in cities across the U.S. In a radio address, George W. Bush defended the war, saying it took place, quote, to disarm a brutal regime, free its people, and defend the world, unquote. And yet more than 4,500 people marched in Tokyo during a visit by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. The self-defense force, that is Japan's military, should withdraw from Iraq immediately, and the occupation of Iraq should be stopped. That was word spoken by Ken Takada, a member of the civic group known as World Peace Now. Japan has about 550 troops in southern Iraq in a non-combat role. In Canberra and other Australian cities, protesters marched against what they called the Coalition of the Killing. In Australia, and Australia announced the deployment of another 450 soldiers to Iraq. In Greece, unions and left-wing groups organized marches on the streets of Athens. One organizer said 5,000 people took part, while police put the figure at about 2,000. Leaflets were passed out to marchers reading, "Bush is the number one terrorist." Anti-war protesters in London gathered in Hyde Park of London to on Saturday for their own march. One protester, John Solway, remarked, "I think it's outrageous what Blair and Bush think they can get away with." While some from wanted Bush, British and U.S. forces to withdraw from Iraq, others disagreed. Disagreeer named Kit McLean remarks, "We got the Iraqis into this mess. We need to help them get out of it." In Istanbul, Turkey, an estimated 15,000 people marched against the war, while Stockholm, Sweden saw about 300 turn out to display their displeasure. In the United States, the Troops Out Now Coalition said it had won the right to march through New York Central Park and onto the mansion of the city's mayor, Michael Bloomberg. Voice is going up. The International Action Center said that protests would also take place in more than 700 cities throughout the United States. My voice has just suddenly gone shot. I think 10 hours may be the limit for it. 700 cities, but that was actually also listed by the United for Peace and Justice. But if the International Action Center wants to take credit, fine. That was the BBC with a post on their website, bbc.co.uk. Here in Chicago, events are basically a reporting of a right-winger who had assaulted a police officer. Additional reports and protests are coming in, although we may just be wrapping it up now, ending the broadcast. No other details as of yet. What I'm going to do probably now Or I probably will do shortly. I need water for one thing. Although I'm probably going to end it shortly. We're past 6 o'clock. Um, 5:24. Okay. I'm just trying to think. I don't know if there's anything else I can do. I can't really be involved in any mass jail solidarity efforts because I have no other resources by which I can do that. So that was basically the rationale, at least in my mind, for continuing on this webcast. So I probably will be alerting all our affiliates and all the listeners out there, thanking all of you for your contributions throughout the day and for any calls and comments. Apologize for a technical snafu which prevented people from calling in. We had gotten that fixed. It may have alerted people. But nonetheless, for the lion's share of the day, I hope we provided something of a service. Chicago Indie Media will have additional coverage of this on the website, but probably not in a radio stream format, although I may be convinced of the contrary to do this again, but not for 10.5 hours. I can only do this for so much, especially since I've got a lot of other pressing things in my time. For everyone who had participated in all the events, some 10 feeder marches that had protested from Chicago, both on the north side and south side. The south side is for peace, the Gay Liberation Network, youth and militarization protests, as well as protests against the Israeli consulate by the Palestine Solidarity Group, the International Solidarity Movement, as well as those at the Colombian Consulate, those organized by the Boeing Christian Peacemaker Team, organized in concert, no doubt, with the No Data Anti-War Group, which I blanked on the name, VITW. Voices in the Wilderness, I remember it now, as well as those organizing efforts in the Ukrainian Village and Garfield Park. And other protests that may have also been happening elsewhere across the city, but just for whatever reason didn't get posted. Great job, everyone. I hope that I've been able to contribute whatever small way I can to all of these efforts. However, riding on adrenaline for about 10 hours and change, although considering what some people are going through now, especially in jail, not just here but elsewhere, seems like a small thing to be able to do. But I'm going to respectfully conclude the broadcast probably in another couple of minutes, simply because I'm just running out of energy, unless I can be convinced otherwise. And I can be convinced otherwise with regards to this, so this might be the last call. The Chicago Indie Media, let me just plug the project, which is this, is an independent, community-based, non-corporate participatory media project based in Chicago. Offices in the Logan Square neighborhood from which we have been broadcasting all day long. The phone number here, which will be taking messages even if we will not be continuing with the broadcast, 773-384-8544. Again, that's 773-384-8544. Email is also still good, imc-chicago@indymedia.org. Indymedia is spelled I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A. The Indymedia in Chicago produces a radio show, a monthly radio show called From the Trenches, which you can hear both on WLUW and on Chicago Indie Media's website, as well as also on the Indie Media Radio Project website. Also a television show, a monthly television show called Chicago Independent Television, some episodes of which are on the website at chicago.indymedia.org. Look for the link on the left-hand side of the webpage called Video Collective. There are also efforts to collect photo and print efforts, a very dynamic and effort website which receives a lot of efforts and which has been giving lots of coverage of events that have been taking place throughout the day in Chicago, so that people who could not, for whatever reason, hear things on the air could at least read them on a webpage to help to get that contact information out. And perhaps more. And in fact, we encourage people, if they are interested in getting involved, you can contact us in projects like these, or if there's a project that you think that we should do and that you would like to do, please speak with us. We may be able to do something about that. And in fact, it often takes just as little as a single person devoted. Entire movements have been arisen simply because one person stood up and said no, and it did something about that. And the examples of that are replete through history and will be continuing. And is the only thing, I think, that have made the difference in this world. 6.08 p.m. here in Chicago. We have been recording all of this, and I will be posting this on the website or on radio.indymedia.org with subsequent links, but probably not for a day or two, simply because I've had a long day, and I'll probably need to wrap up. So I think I'm going to probably end the broadcast here at about 10 hours and 10 minutes of broadcasting. So I will respectively conclude this broadcast and probably end the stream momentarily. But I will thank everyone who has contributed to, in whatever way, to the protest actions and into this very broadcast. Thank you. You're all wonderful people, and I count myself very lucky to be affiliated with all of you. We are coming to you from the trenches. This concludes Chicago Indie Media's coverage of protests and events in Chicago and worldwide today, March 19th, 2005, the second anniversary of the escalation of the war in Iraq. This radio broadcast has been a special extended edition of From the Trenches, the radio project of the Chicago Independent Media Center, part of the growing network of independent media centers that span the globe. My name is Mitchell Stripinchik. I thank you all for listening or contributing very much. Phone number one last time, 773-384-8544. We won't be taking phone calls at any point unless someone calls like within the last 15 seconds or so. But the phone number is available for calling with regards to additional details. Email is better because a lot more of us read it. And if you want to get a more prompt response, that might be your better bet. IMC-Chicago, IMC-Chicago at indymedia.org. We had been also using AOL Instant Messenger, and I am closing that now. So if people want to contact, I would recommend phone number, email, and on rare occasions also Instant Messenger if you happen to be lucky enough to contact us. And with that, I bid everyone a fond adieu. Thanks for listening. Let's win this world. Thanks.